Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I came into work prepared to tell you that we survived the great CrowdStrike / Microsoft crash of 2024, and I look to my left. The blue screen is still here on this one computer. Thankfully, the other computers in the newsroom and here at the network appear to be back online, but I thought we were all done with it, and there is still a screen right here next to me, to my left. It's the one actually that we use to communicate between control room and studio when it comes to callers. And so it's the computer that will take the caller log and put it in my screen or put it in my studio where I can see it, courtesy of the producer on the other side of the double pane glass. But ruh-roh. It just keeps recycling back to the blue screen and then goes back to the old fateful message. Your device ran into a problem and needs to restart. We're just collecting some error info and then we'll restart for you. Oh, okay, will you? I'm not falling for that again because I know what happened last Thursday night. Gosh. Even thinking back to a few nights ago, our last show to wrap up last week, I am so grateful that so many of you jumped in to kind of give us information and let us know what you were going through on your end. Man, we heard from so many of you all over the country. You blew us away on our social media at A-Law Radio. If you'd like to see the dreaded blue screen that I'm talking about, here I was thinking that it was all done, but I did share a photo of the blue screen, the same blue screen that I'm getting right now in studio. I did share a photo of it on my Twix A-Law Radio because I was thinking, oh, it's nostalgia now. We need to have it documented. Gosh, I know for sure that I wouldn't want to be flying on Friday. I actually reached out to my brother. He didn't even have coffee yet. And I had already texted him on Friday morning to say, Matthew, I was thinking of you because there was this major security issue. Well, an issue with a security company overnight. And I wanted to know whether or not it affected you. And he goes, oh no, I need my coffee. And then realized that because his company, and he works from home, but his company computers had both CrowdStrike and Microsoft, that his computer, his work computer, was fried, as he put it. So he had to wait for most of the day and get some type of patch that you then had to either use on your computers. It was individual for every computer that had both CrowdStrike and Microsoft and that fell victim to this failed update. What he told me was over a billion computers had to be individually restarted. So our CEO, our parent company, Odyssey, and the CEO sent a bunch of updates starting early in the morning on Friday and running through Friday afternoon. Well, I don't check my work email over the weekend, never checked it over the weekend. And so didn't see them until Sunday afternoon when I was starting to prep to come back into work. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for the updates. We figured it out. We were actually on the air when it was happening. And I do know there was an hours long Zoom call with the engineering brain trust. They were here almost the entire time that we were doing the show. So they got here around 11:30 Pacific time, 2:30 a.m. Eastern time, and they were still here when I left. So I know that they were having to work overtime, but it was, if I'm honest, kind of nice to have some engineers in the building to be able to ask questions and just to see other bodies here, almost as though it matters what we're doing at these hours. So I hope that you survived and did not have to worry about going anywhere, traveling. Maybe it affected you in a minor way, or maybe it was an inconvenience. But I do hope that everything's been restored and you finally got to where you were going. I know when I was out on Friday afternoon, I had an appointment and I went out to my appointment and turned on the radio just briefly. And there was an update on the number of flights that had been canceled or rerouted or had to be rescheduled. I know that was coming from the perspective of the New York area airports, where Newark had some major issues, and I think LaGuardia actually shut down for a while. So it didn't affect every airport. It didn't affect every airline, but it did enough damage that it probably was going to take days, is what they said, to be able to get kind of through and clear all of the different flights and passengers that needed to get where they were going. So I can imagine that was a major headache on what was a summer weekend. Glad to be back with you on this Sunday evening. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As I say, you can find me online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page named After the Show. You'll be happy to know that I spoke with producer Jay over the weekend, although he's not a producer anymore, and I can't spill any beans, but at least he's had a job interview. That's good news. He's spending a lot of time in the pool. That's also good news. And I suppose when he's ready, when he has some news to share, he will do exactly that. But meanwhile, we are into week three of our producer search and auditions. And I don't know if we're any closer than we were 2 or 3 weeks ago. Actually, I would say that we are, except that I still don't know about candidates from outside the company. I know many of you have tried to throw your hat in the ring. Ryan, how do you feel about that? I've had a bunch of people who would admittedly say they have zero radio experience, but would just like to be the producer. So they're finding me on social and like, hey, I'll do it. As if you just walk in the door and all of a sudden you can be a radio producer. I don't know what that says. Yeah, I don't know what that says about the job that you're doing this week. Like, it really doesn't require any skill or any experience. You just show up and work. Maybe. Well, as someone who, well, I'm sure Ryan too has been in this situation. As someone who's seen a bunch of people come through that have no idea what they're doing, that's not a great recipe or a great formula. In fact, it usually ends up being more work than it is help. And what I don't need is more work. So if you have radio experience, that's one thing. If you have zero radio experience, we're not talking about an entry-level position here. If you would like to become a radio producer, I would say start at the local level. That might be a better option for you. But I do appreciate that many of you would like to help. I've actually had a few people write on social and say, oh, I'd love to, but I can't move there. All right. Thanks for letting us know. We'll cross you off the list. I actually don't know if I can receive any notifications for phone calls in here because the blue screen is still shining brightly. But you can certainly use our network phone, 855-212-4227, and feel free to tell Ryan that you're interested in the job. Ouch. I'm not sure what that says about me, that people just think you could show up and just be a warm body and that's all it takes. All right. I mean, I actually think that it's great that some of you would like to work here, but at the same time, it's you might decide you don't want to after a couple of days of realizing that there's more to it than just pressing a few buttons. So glad to have you with us. Please reach out. But again, thank you so much for keeping us company on Thursday night into Friday, because it was really helpful to know that we were not alone, and that many of you were A, listening, B, kind of caught in a similar situation. Also, we broke the news to some of you as well. So it was an experience. I suppose that is one of my favorite things about live radio, is that you never quite know how it's going to go, and you really do have to be on your toes. You really do have to be ready for anything. It's funny, too, because I would say somewhat overconfidently that you could march a band through the middle of my studio and I would be able to continue talking. So that's more about the ability to focus and kind of the mental side of things. But man, when your equipment is completely blowing up and you're getting the dreaded blue screen in some places, in other places you're getting just the black screen of death. Well, it's kind of rough because you really don't know what to do. And you really don't know how to handle it other than to say help or to kind of navigate what you can do and what you can't do. So we did that. Colton was here. We figured out pretty quickly what we could and couldn't do. And then thankfully help arrived. Although I say help, and there really was no help until we kind of understood from the outside what was happening. And yes, it was a CrowdStrike update of some sort, maybe a planned update, maybe one they'd had scheduled for months. And some part of that update crashed CrowdStrike. And then the computers that were using Microsoft that relied on CrowdStrike, if you had both, it was kind of a double whammy. If you remember that game show, was it X? No, Press Your Luck. Was it Press Your Luck? Wait, Ryan, you're 22. You're not supposed to know that.
No, I can. They redid it. It was on the Game Show Network.
Oh, gotcha.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
You know what? Most redos and reboots are not as good as the originals. However, at some point during the show, I have to give you my review of the new Twisters movie because I grew up with the original. That was 30 years ago, I think. I don't remember exactly what year. But Jim Paxton and Helen Hunt, and it was Oscar nominated worthy. There were a couple of Oscar nominations that came out of it. And I was admittedly skeptical going into... we actually went Saturday night to IMAX. Now, the great thing about IMAX, it doesn't matter how bad the movie is. If there's a lot of action and a lot of, well, in this case, severe weather in IMAX, it's going to be terrific. But my husband asked me if we wanted to go. And so we went on Saturday night. And again, I was kind of withholding my high expectations, not sure how it would be. Thought maybe it'll just be about the popcorn and my Vanilla Coke Zero. But I was pleasantly surprised. I'll have to tell you, I don't want to give too much away, but I will give a bit of a movie review because it was just the first weekend that it came out. And actually, I teach fourth and fifth graders at my church on Sunday mornings, and I mentioned it, and a few of them had already seen it, which was crazy. A couple of them had gone to the theater. One young man said that he and his family already watched it online at home. So I guess it was the big blockbuster of the summer so far. If you've seen it, yay. I'd love to hear from you. Speaking of blockbusters, well, we certainly had some of that. I would say fireworks and blockbuster performances from the Dodgers. 6 home runs in getting by the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball. And that's wrapping up the first weekend post All-Star break, which means trade deadline will become all the rage. It's on the horizon now for the baseball industry. Lots of chatter about teams that could be sellers, teams that will be buyers. How serious do some of these teams want to get as we look at some convoluted standings, some standings that are relatively competitive in some divisions and yet not in others. So right now, looking at it, in the American League, every division has at least 2, in some cases 3 teams within 5 games of the top of the division. All right, so in the American League East, Orioles and Yankees are separated by just 2 games. And Orioles hit 60 wins this weekend, so the first team in the AL to hit 60 wins. The Guardians have a 5-game lead over both the Twins and the Royals. All right, so there's 3 teams within, wowzers with the Royals, right? 3 teams within 5 games of each other. And the Royals have won 7 of their last 10. And don't look now, they're 10 games above 500. Then you've got the Astros, who've actually caught the Mariners, and the Rangers, who are all within 5 games of each other. So I guess right now, even though their wins and losses are not the same numbers, Astros and Mariners are at a dead heat in terms of winning percentage. Rangers looking a little better, the World Series champions. Wasn't that long ago there was chatter about how the Rangers front office, Chris Young being the one that you know, that they might actually blow it up, which I thought was insane. Are you kidding? You won a World Series a few months ago. It can't be that bad. Anyway, they're now within 5 games of the top of that division. Now, nobody is resetting win records in that division. It's been quite a scuffle, but it's still competitive. Now, in the National League East, the Phillies are running away with it. The Braves keep suffering more injuries. It's frustrating from their pitching staff to various maladies to their lineup. And so they're the only team within striking distance. I guess you could say that. They're 8.5 games back. But the difference, of course, is that the wild card keeps a lot of teams still in it. So that's one division where there's a major disparity. Same thing with the NL West. The Dodgers have now opened up an 8-game lead over both the Diamondbacks and the Padres. Those two teams are just 2 games above 500, and so they're treading water right now. The Brewers and the Cardinals are separated by 5 games in the NL Central. So you do have a lot of teams in terms of division standings, and it matters if you win your division. A bunch of teams that you could think might be trying to boost. That's how it happens, Ryan. Boost and beef somehow married together and become boof. Happens all the time. Get used to it. And so in the American League wild card, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams within 5 games of each other. Of course, being 3 wild cards. So 3 other teams are on the cusp. And then in the National League, you've got, oh my gosh, all but 2 teams. That's crazy. All but 2 teams in the entire National League. All but 2 teams within 4 games of the top of the wild card standings. That's exactly what Rob Manfred and the baseball powers that be want. And so there should, I shouldn't say should, well, there should, maybe could be, a bunch of movement before the trade deadline, which comes up at the end of this month. So there was fireworks in LA and certainly fireworks in Scotland. Wow, what a tiger-like back nine for Xander Schauffele, who wins his 2nd major of the year. And he does it by coming from behind, which of course meant that, similar to Bryson DeChambeau at the U.S. Open, there were guys left in his wake who were disappointed. But Xander grabbed it. I mean, he went out and he played aggressively, but in control. He had so many birdies, you started to lose count. And he actually started the day 2 strokes back, and multiple times throughout the day was not on top of the leaderboard. In fact, he wasn't in the final couple groups. I think he was the 3rd-to-last group to finish. And yet, he has his 2nd major win of 2024. And USA, the Americans, actually hold all 4 major titles in this calendar year. So we'll hear from Xander. Not sure if you were watching the coverage on NBC. It was obviously earlier because of the time change. But really neat story about his dad, who was able to be there in person to greet him when he walked off the 18th. He wasn't able to be there going back to his win at the PGA Championship earlier in the year. Justin Rose, he got so close. He's from England, got so close to winning the Open Championship, but still fell short. And so he was really emotional and frustrated about that. The WNBA All-Star Weekend culminates with a performance on Saturday night that maybe gave the Olympic team some pause, considering that they've got, well, now just a couple of days to get ready before they travel to Paris. And speaking of Olympic teams, South Sudan. Is there a North Sudan that has a basketball team? Because I did not know that. But South Sudan nearly beat the United States in an Olympic tune-up. That does not bode well. Doesn't. Maybe it put the fear of God in them so that they know better than to ever take it easy on the international stage. As much as you want to say, hey, they're terrific, and they're a compilation of some of the best players in the world, that's true. But you got to be careful because other teams are hungry. This may very well be their NBA finals. And for South Sudan, it would have been the biggest victory in their nation's history in the sport of basketball. Maybe in almost all sports, to be honest. So a lot to get to on the Olympic stage. Believe it or not, the opening ceremonies are later this week. And so we're getting closer to the 2024 Summer Games. I know a lot of you are really interested in the Summer Olympics. We'll be excited to watch them here in studio since they'll be taking place live while we're on the air. Just a ton to get to. NFL training camps underway, which always floats my boat and maybe gives you a little thrill about what's to come. I mean, let's not rush the summer. I did freak my kiddos out this morning, though, by telling them summer was half over. Should have seen their faces. Yeah, they're not thrilled. Anyway, we're just getting started, kicking off a new work week. Hope that you enjoyed the weekend and that it was exactly what you needed it to be. On Twix, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Brilliant. Francois de Chauffelet. We'll have to just sit and wait for a little bit.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When that music first started, it sounded like a circus. Something under the big top. It's kind of jazzy. I like it. It's one of my favorite things, actually, about different producers is that they all have different musical tastes and ideas. And I have said from the beginning, the music is all you. It's just, I don't have the time or the brain capacity to be worried about the music as well. Every now and then I'll ask for a particular song, or when it comes to Christmas music, of course I'll ask for Christmas music, but I always like to hear what different producers come up with. So that from the mind of Ryan, who is with us for what, the next three nights? Wow, you're going from overnights to mornings, and then I'm assuming back again since the morning show producer is out for an extended period of time. How's that flipping your schedule around?
It sucks.
Oh, great. Good. Shortened to the point.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
No, it's tough. It just even being on this schedule all the time is tough. But as someone who constantly changed schedules for the 10 years before I was here and even early in my tenure here because I was working overnights and then late night and then afternoons depending upon the day of the week for the first 2 years with the now defunct CBS Sports Radio. For that reason, I felt like I was always tired. So it's better to be on a consistent overnight schedule or a consistent morning schedule than it is to constantly be changing. Agreed. So I hope there's some continuity for you in the future, but at least for the next three nights. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the final call there on NBC. Well, final call, not really the final call of the tournament, but the final one for Xander Schauffele, who was able to put together a round for the ages. He did not start the final day of the Open Championship in first place. And for the first five holes, he was, I don't want to call it boring, but he was right on track. He was par. Didn't gain any ground of his own volition. But then had back-to-back birdies on 6 and 7. And the back nine is when he really took charge. And the rest of the field on Sunday at Royal Troon in Scotland was going backwards on the back nine. He carded four more birdies. So a round of 65 on Sunday, 6 birdies, no bogeys. And once they were done, and Justin Rose struggled a bit with a couple of different opportunities that he had, here is Xander Schauffele at 30 years old. He's a San Diego guy. He now has 2 major wins. His first two coming both in this 2024 season. Incredible. Yeah, what's that like to win not one but two in the span of a couple of months?
I think winning the first one helped me a lot today on the back nine. I had some feeling of calmness come through, and it was very helpful on what has been one of the hardest back nines I've ever played in a tournament. So it's it's a dream come true to win two majors in 1 year. Is, you know, it took me forever just to win one, and to have two now is something else.
Yeah, pretty incredible. The day started in Scotland with seven golfers within a stroke of leader Billy Horschel. And when the dust settled, I'm thinking of the final game of the NBA Finals now, game five, where the confetti was so thick that you couldn't see through it. When the confetti finally stopped flying and you were able to see again, it was Shoffley who was there holding the claret jug, one of the most recognizable and iconic trophies in all of sports. And yes, when he walked off 18, even though the tournament wasn't over, there were still a couple of guys, a couple of groups actually behind him. His wife and his significant other, his parents, and a few other family members were there able to celebrate with him.
In the end, it makes it feel like it's all worth it. So, my wife's here, you know, both my parents, my brother, and my uncle. So, sort of, you know, my day ones, as I would say, they were all here to.
Aww.
They haven't enjoyed it with me yet, but, you know, tonight will be awesome.
So Shoffley is the first golfer going back to the 1930s, which is the start of the Masters era, if you will. But the first golfer since 1934 to have more than one final round of 65 or better in majors in the same year. Talk about rising to the occasion. No wonder he has a gold medal from a previous Olympics and will be heading to the Olympics in Paris. That's a bang bang. It's the first year and the first time since the early 80s that American golfers have won all four majors. Scottie Scheffler won the Masters. You also had Bryson DeChambeau win the U.S. Open and then Xander win the other two. He walked up 18 knowing there were still a couple of groups behind him, but as long as he took care of his business, more than likely he would end up winning the Open Championship. But it was kind of neat too. A lot was made on NBC of his relationship with his caddy. So he waited for his caddy. A lot of times caddies will hold back. They will follow at a distant pace so that the golfer can have that moment in the sun. But he actually waited for his caddy and his good friend to be able to catch up with him. And the two walked up together.
That walk up 18 truly is the coolest, with the yellow leaderboards and the fans and the standing ovation. It really is the coolest, one of the coolest feelings I've ever had in my life. I got chills walking down and quickly had to zap myself back into focus because the tournament wasn't over yet.
Yeah, right. You can't get caught up in what's happening in front of you because you haven't finished. But my husband and I, we were watching the end of the tournament together, and we were marveling at the number of people who were there at Royal Troon, lining that final fairway, and then, of course, all around the green, and thinking about how you have to be able to block those people out. I can't even imagine trying to, well, I think the putting wouldn't be as big an issue. For me, it's always the driver off the tee. I can't even imagine attempting to drive a ball off the tee with that many people paying attention. And then I thought, you know what? There are thousands of people that listen to the radio show every night, and that doesn't make me nervous. So it's got to be the same for them. They're just so used to it. They're so confident in what they do. There's so much muscle memory and so much practice and so many reps put into it that it wouldn't matter if there's one person or 50,000 people staring at them, 50,000 eyeballs staring at them. It doesn't rattle them because they're just doing what they've been doing for years. So once I put it in that perspective, I thought, okay, I get that then. But yeah, it seems completely impossible to me to think about playing a golf tournament with that many people around you every second, the entire time. That's impressive to me always when these guys are able to perform at such a high level. And right now, Xander Schauffele is the man of the moment in the world of golf and will head to Paris next to defend his gold medal. What a year. Who would have had a better year than Xander Schauffele? Two major wins and a gold medal? Ryan, we might have to come back to that as a show question. If he ends up winning gold in Paris, who's had a better year in sports than Xander?
It would be Jason Tatum. Oh, NBA and
maybe
Olympics,
Jason
maybe?
Tatum. Yeah, if they end up winning the gold medal. That's a good one. See, good question. I already like it. On Twitter or Twix or X, whatever you call it. People get so mad at me when I call it Twix. I do not know what your aversion is. It's just a candy bar. You can find me at A-Law Radio, our show account at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. Now, coming up at the top of the hour, we were supposed to have him with us on Thursday night. But because everything went haywire with the CrowdStrike / Microsoft crash, we couldn't do it. Jesse Bradley, who many of you will remember from previous conversations, he's a former pro soccer goalie on the international level and is now in Seattle. He's the chaplain of the Sounders. He's a speaker. He's an author. A lot of times major news networks will have him on to talk about whether it's soccer or actually because he's a pastor, places where soccer and kind of mental health and faith intersect. And here's the deal. U.S. soccer still has not found a coach to take over for Greg Berhalter. Is it time to press the panic button? Because I might be a little bit panicky. I'm just speaking for me. So we'll talk to Jesse about the search for a new coach and whether or not it's too late. That's what I want to know. Is it too late now for U.S. soccer with the World Cup just 2 years away on our own soil? There should be a sense of urgency. I can already feel my heart rate going up. This is a problem. All right, so Jesse at the top of the hour from Seattle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
To one is hammered. Deep right center field. Way out of here. And Ohtani joins the home run party. A 30 home run season for Shohei Ohtani.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dodgers radio network, it was the capper to the first weekend post All-Star break. And yes, Shohei Ohtani putting on a show for the fans there in L.A. at Chavez Ravine. Would you believe that's home run number 30 on the season for Shohei? And I know people keep track of this year-round. Of course, there are odds and different ways that you can place prop bets on home run leaders and stats over the course of a season. He is right now 5 behind Aaron Judge, who set the pace, had 34 to the All-Star break, and has had one since. So Shohei is sitting on 30. Aaron Judge is on 35. But for those of you who are big into math, I can't get this wrong because this was my mom's expertise, and this was, well, when I was in school, this was the class where I could never do anything less than my best. I was a perfectionist, though, so that really wasn't an issue. But since my mom was my math teacher in high school, I always had to be meticulous about my math. So we were just talking about the standings. And you're not really at the midway point when you get to the All-Star break. You're past the midway point by a smidge. So, for instance, the Dodgers have now played, well, considering, including last night, I should say, they've now played exactly 100 games. So teams are at 98, 99, 100 games, which means, again, you're past the midway point. You're not quite two-thirds of the way yet, but you're getting closer. So if you take the number of home runs each of those guys has had Aaron Judge, again, a little bit past halfway. So you're not looking at a 70 home run projection, but you are looking at home runs in the 60s. And for Shohei, you're looking at least 50 home runs if he continues on the pace that he has set through the first 100 games for the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He had company last night, though. There were plenty of home runs that were flying around Dodger Stadium, whether it felt like the home run derby or not. Teoscar Hernandez had a big smash as well. Ohtani is actually hitting leadoff right now. So Ohtani, Hernandez is behind him, and then Freddie Freeman, who also had a home run, and Gavin Lux as well. So you had four of the top five hitters in the lineup go deep against the Red Sox, and they come away with a 9-6 victory. But yeah, a lot of people just in awe of Ohtani's because it traveled 473 feet. 473 feet. I kind of feel like you should get credit for two home runs when it does that.
It's just hard to, you know, fathom somebody hitting a baseball like that. He did say he got all of it, but it's just, that's where people just don't go.
25th time the Dodgers, and no, I didn't count, have launched at least six homers in a game, but it hasn't happened in four seasons. So the starter for the Red Sox, Cutter Crawford, got hit pretty hard. Now, this might be exactly what the Dodgers needed because they really were not playing good baseball going into the break, and they needed the offense to come out like this to start out this second part of the season. Jaron Duran, who was the MVP of the All-Star game on Tuesday night, also had a home run and four RBI for the Red Sox. So how about that? Feeling himself coming off of that honor on Tuesday night. Red Sox, though, are now a game behind the Royals. That's weird. That's weird to say. A game behind the Royals for the final American League wild card. It might be too early to start stargazing when it comes to standings, scoreboard watching, if you will, but it's just odd to utter those words. Behind the Royals. Wait, don't tell me. The Royals won the World Series in, was it 13? 14. Wait, why are you shaking your head? Which year was it?
2015.
Oh, it was 15. I was so close. What were you, seven at the time? I'm no. Just kidding. You weren't seven.
I was a Mets fan in pain.
You were in high school, though. Oh, you were a Mets fan. Yeah. You were in high school, right?
Yep, freshman year.
Oh, wow. I mean, the freshman in the room remembers more than I do. So much of it blends together for me now. So 2015, now it's all coming back to me. Like Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me now. Yeah, so the Royals were good for a few years. When they actually made the World Series the year before and lost to the San Francisco Giants. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Brownie points for me. Fist pumps all around. Fist pumps. Yeah, yeah. So it's not been that long that they've been in baseball purgatory, but it does feel like it's been a minute. So roughly a decade or so, but good for them. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, this cracks me up. I can't help it. I don't know if he probably did talk about it. Not that you need to necessarily hear about it, but Aaron Boone cannot stand going more than 15 games without getting tossed out. I never would have pegged him for being the spicy type, but last year and this year, he gets ejected more than any other manager in Major League Baseball. And usually it's just for arguing a bunch. I guess that's where the broadcasting pass comes in. He just has to yap, 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 yap. So the Yankees end up losing to the Rays on Sunday. And right now they're still two games behind the Baltimore Orioles. But yeah, these are the numbers. I think I'd be cranky if I were Aaron Boone as well. New York started out 50-22. Okay, so through the first 72 games, they were 50-22. Since then, listen and weep, Yankees fans. This is gross. 9-20. I know they've had injuries, but it's not just injuries. It's too easy to blame the injuries. They've actually just had a bunch of guys who aren't hitting, who aren't producing the way they should. They've obviously had some major misses in their rotation. And those are where the numbers really tell the story. The Yankees led the majors in ERA among starters when they started out with 50 wins. They were the first team to 50 wins. When they got to that point, their ERA was south of 3. Since June 19th, the ERA is the worst in baseball. This is not how you're supposed to do it, Yankees. They go from best in the league to worst in the league. 6.39 ERA with their starters since then. They give up a lot of runs. They give up a ton of runs. Actually, it might be interesting to see what their run differential is. And crazy enough, their run differential is plus 101. They give up a ton of runs. They score a ton of runs. Now, a lot of that has to do with Aaron Judge. Juan Soto's been mildly inconsistent. But to have a league worst in the last month, the league's worst ERA, north of 6, and your run differential is still 101, oh, that speaks to how much work your offense has to do. Let's see if there's another team that's better. The Phillies are better at plus 112, but they are the best in the American League when it comes to run differential, even though their pitchers have struggled mightily in the last month, or their starting pitchers, I should say, have struggled mightily in the last month. So what's it like inside the clubhouse?
I think there's certain guys, you know, pressing a little bit. But, I mean, you know, you break it down, you go individually down that lineup, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys putting together real quality at-bats, big league at-bats. So, you know, sometimes that's baseball, but obviously this is about a month where we've struggled winning ball games, and we got to find a way right now.
Aaron Boone, I can understand why he's cranky, leads the majors himself with 5 ejections so far this season. What are you, Draymond Green? And still a long way to go. 38th time in his managing career. What's he been managing for, 7 seasons, maybe? Is it even been 7 seasons? I'm going to have to go back and look because I don't remember exactly when he got hired. I just know every year for the last 3, he's been on the hot seat. All right, Aaron Boone record. Aaron Boone managerial record. All right. Yeah, he's in year number 7. Oh, every now and then a blind squirrel finds a nut. He's in year number 7, got hired in 2018. Goodness. How the time flies when you're having fun. So he's been ejected 38 times in 7 years. It's like he thinks that he can yap a little more because he was an analyst, because he was, well, and he was a major league player, of course. Aaron Judge hits home run number 35. Aaron Boone gets ejected for the 5th time. Maybe there's a parallel there. So, yeah, we'll do a little more baseball, like, for instance, the Hall of Fame inductions taking over Cooperstown on Sunday. It is on my bucket list. I've never been to Cooperstown, which is nutso because I've lived in the Northeast for a good portion of my life, at least half of my life. But, yeah, really neat to see Joe Mauer get his day in the sun. I was always such a huge fan of Joe Mauer for a lot of reasons. Jim Leland, you knew he was going to cry. In fact, you knew he was going to blubber. Todd Helton repping the Colorado Rockies, and then Adrian Beltre in there as well, speaking of fireworks and home runs. But straight ahead, U.S. soccer still doesn't have a coach for the national team. Oh, is it time to hit the panic button? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.